Well, again, welcome to Freedom House Church. If it's your first time here, my name is Josiah. I'm the lead pastor of Freedom House One Church in multiple locations, Fullerton, Irvine, online, Espanol, and soon to come to where? Anaheim. Come on, give God a hand clap. What's up, Irvine campus? So good to see everybody. I'm excited to continue our series today. We're talking about putting God first. Someone say, God first. And when you put God first, you will never be last. When first things are first, second things get better. So grab your Bibles as you remain standing. Let's go. We're going to read two passages this morning. It's going to serve as our foundational text. And just want to say up front, pardon me. I'm finding a little throat thing here. And my problem is I talk too much. So pray for me. Okay. And, baseball, what an arm is for a pitcher, a voice is for a preacher. And so, but I felt I had to preach this morning. I got this word I want to share. And I'm like, if I left it all on the field for football, how many of you can leave it on the field for Jesus? Come on, somebody. That's right. My wife, though, says I need a rest, but I will later. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And then we're going to jump to Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15. And here's how the Bible reads. We're talking about God first here. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all of these things will be what? Added to you or given to you as well. So the Bible tells us we put God first, everything's going to be added to us. But what happens is we live in a generation that puts things first and they wonder why they don't see God's blessing. Amen. We'll put God first. Now go with me to Joshua 24:15. And today we're going to talk about God first in our family. Here's what the Bible says. It says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose, someone say choose, for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the Euphrates River or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living in now. Then I love this last sentence. It says, but as for me and my house, come on somebody, someone say as for me and my house, he says, we are going to serve the Lord. Yeah, I love that. I love that. I love that. I love it because he's almost saying like, I don't know about all y'all. Like, y'all can do what y'all want to do. But as far as me and my house, yeah, we're going to serve God. You know what I'm saying? I want to talk to you today. The title of my message is God First in Our Family. God First in My Family. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is not your word that needs blessing. It's our minds that need blessing. So God, please help us this morning, Father, to fully grasp the power of your word, Lord. Let it shape our family. Let it shape our minds. Let it shape our homes, God. Let it shape, Father, our hearts so that we may become the people you called us to be. More importantly, raise the families you've called us to raise. God, speak to us, encourage us, and let the families, Lord, be strong in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap. You may be seated and just tell the person next to you, say, put God first. Say, in your family. That's right. Really, really felt I needed to be here, even though, like I said, I'm finding a little thing with my throat here. It's because this message is so pivotal and so close to my heart that I just felt I had to impart this into our church family. And for the reason being is that there is no mystery that there's an attack on the family. There is a full-on assault from the kingdom of hell to break down the family unit. And I just to bring everybody into this message, because I don't want you to feel like, well, this message is not for me. Even if you're single right now and you're not married or you're not in a relationship, you're still building your family right now. Okay? You're building your family even as a single, because who you are is what you'll attract. What you're developing in your life right now, the disciplines, the value system as a single man or a single woman, you are establishing your family lineage right now. So this message applies to you, even though you might not be married yet or have kids. Yeah, go ahead and clap for that. So that's you're building your family now, all right? So don't just throw this message on and be like, oh, that's for down the line. No. Like, some of the greatest messages I heard before I was about family was before I was married. So I'm like, yo, I need to take notes because I'm not trying to repeat the nonsense I was raised in. Are you tracking what I'm saying? So don't tune this message out, because you're building what's valuable to your family right now. And I really felt I needed to be here because the value of the family is important to God needs to be important to us. Like, God loves families. I'm going to say it again. God loves families. The idea of family is not the idea of the government. It was the idea of God. God established families, okay? He's the one who said how all this whole thing was going to play out. God is the one who set up society. He didn't set up a government. He set up a family. So when God created in Genesis chapter 1, he was like, I'm going to establish the earth. He was like, I'm going to create a family unit because the family is what holds the world together. He didn't start with a government. He didn't start with an educational system. He didn't start, you know, with anything other than the family unit. Because God knows that the backbone of, or should I say God knows, but God created it, that the backbone of any society is the family. And whoever controls the family controls the future. That's just real talk. And that's why there's such a full-on frontal assault to try to break down the family. And so God established it. In fact, the oldest institution is the family. The family even predates the church. Are you hearing what I said? So before there was ever a church, there was a family. Because the family was supposed to be the place that taught faith. The family was taught values. The family is what was supposed to bring healing. The family was supposed to establish the institution of what God wants. It's the family, y'all. It's the family. And so God creates, you know, the family, and his idea of family is how it would establish not just, you know, society, but how it would bring healing and hope to society, because it would be a picture of heaven on earth. That's what the family is. Some of you are thinking, a family brings a picture of heaven on earth? You're like, no, more like hell on earth. No, come on. I don't know how your family is. My family is broken too, you know what I'm saying? But God was like, this is how it's supposed to be. Now, when God created family, you need to hear what I'm saying now, he gave the interpretation of what family is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We live in a day and age that's trying to interpret for you what a family is. God created Adam, then he created Eve. Amen. And he says, I'm going to bring one man and one woman, and these two will come together and procreate children. So the family, no matter what the world says, is not defined by any other gender than when a man and a woman come together and they get married. That is a family under God's pretense. Can I get a better amen? Now you need to hear that, okay? And if you're someone who says, well, pastor, catch up with the times. I'm not trying to catch up with no times. I'm trying to be right with God. Okay? Don't come at me like that and say, well, what are your views? I'll tell you what the Bible says. And God, listen, God is a loving God. That he told us in chapter 1. He's like, let's not get this twisted. Chapter 1, a male and a female make a family. Two men cannot procreate. Two women cannot procreate. This is not a theological fact. It's a biblical scientific fact. That in order for a family to be born, you need a male and a female. They come together and children come because God says that is the holiness of a family. Come on, somebody, say amen. That I say that with love because that is God's perfection. But we live in a day and age that tries to tell us, well, no, a family can be anything. No, if you try to establish anything else, you are coming against the very institution of what God said a family is. And anyone, listen to me, any educational system, any government that comes against God's definition of family is a paganistic institution. And we don't live to the cultural norms. We live to the kingdom. We live to the biblical values. I wish I had somebody this morning that said amen. No, I'm not going to bow to what Babylon says. And if you come against the family, you are going to fail because you're coming against God's word. Now, why'd I say all that? Because Joshua was like, y'all could serve the gods of the Amorites. Y'all could serve the gods on the other side of the Euphrates. But as for me and my house, come on, somebody. I said, but as for me and Freedom House, come on, somebody. We are going to serve the Lord. Now, I say that with love, but that is God's best. And we really need to protect that sanctity of it. Because a lot of confusion tries to come out on, well, you know, what really is a family unit? And Jesus supports this, by the way, because they asked Jesus, because there are a lot of people that say, well, Jesus never said anything about, you know, a male and a female. They're, you don't read your Bible. Read your Bible. Yes, he did. He said a marriage is between a woman and a man. He says, and what God has brought together, let no one put asunder. Jesus said that. Thank you for the three claps. Even if my claps go down, I'm still going to preach it. I'm still going to preach it. Go ahead. It's the most, this is the most loving thing I can tell you. And you need to tell that to your children. We need to tell that to this generation. Because don't smoke with what they're selling you. They're trying to sell you something to your children, to our, that, well, you know, just let it be, let love be love. That's not, no. Stop the, DJ, cut the music. No, absolutely not. We are to live according to God's word. We're called to live according to God's ways. We're called to look according to what God has established. Amen. And so I want to tell you, with that foundation, it is so important that as we're talking about God first in our family, that we hold these biblical values to our children, that we communicate them, that we celebrate them, that we stand upon God's word. And as parents, if your children, because they're trying to feed them all kinds of nonsense in today's, you know, day and age, whether it's at school or it's an education system, whether it's on TikTok or hip-hop or I don't know what, all that stuff, right? We know what God said. We know what God said. And when you do it God's way, it'll always have God's blessing. Why? Because we're a God-first family. Come on, someone say God first. Say it again. Say God first. And so when we put God first in our families, we understand that we are raising our family to be a kingdom family. That God's desire is that the family would be literally the backbone of society. That if you want to fix society, don't build more jails, build better families. Okay. If you want to bring healing to the world, you just bring healing to families. You know? Like I get it. You know, we're so in tune with what's going on in the world. And you're like, you know, did you hear what happened in the news? You know, and, you know, I like to say it like this. People are like, what's going on at the White House? Don't worry about what's going on at the White House. Worry about your house. Did you hear what happened in the news? Did you hear what happened in your kid's bedroom? Okay, I felt that one. Okay. You're more in tune with what's happening, you know. In you know, did you hear what Vladimir Putin's doing? Did you hear what your daughter's doing? Healing to the family. Healing to the family. I said healing to the family. Come on, somebody. God first in our families, guys. Now, again, I'm not saying don't pray. Yeah, pray for everything. But you want to bring revival to society, bring revival to families. You want to see this world change? Change your home. Literally change. Get involved in your children's lives. Minister to them. Disciple them. Have prayer meetings with each other. We're going to talk about all that today. Because God loves families. Like he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a generational God. When God sees you, he sees five generations. He sees multiple generations. Everything, I even say it like this, my opening thoughts, I'm going to get to the points here. Everything God does in your life, it's not just for you. Your healing is not just for you. Your healing is for all those who are connected to you. Yeah. Because he wants to see your family. Now, I know many of us come from broken families. I'm going to raise my hand. Anybody come from a broken family? I saw someone's foot go up. God bless you over there. That's right. They're like, yeah, I had no idea, Pastor. Okay. I know we all come from broken families, okay? A God-first family or a family that's honoring God doesn't mean that you never come from a broken family. What it means is that you have decided that you are not an inevitable repetition of your past. That we can make a decision, okay? Because yes, you might come from a dysfunctional home. I came from a broken home. Unfortunately, Dad left Mom when I was 10 years old. Mom had to work two jobs and she, you know, we were on Section 8 housing, and you know, we were poor, man. We're eating like you know, government cheese. Y'all don't even know nothing about evaporated milk. Okay, that's what we were raised on. Y'all don't even know nothing. We had like powder, then you put water and you stir it. Okay, y'all think you're suffering because you got an iPhone 11. Okay, God bless you. Okay, I mean, I'm saying, yeah, exactly. I mean, plain cornflakes, put a little bit of, a little bit of chocolate Nestle Quick, and now you got, anyhow, all right, cool. We're poor. But we grew up, and my dad, you know, was battled addictions and XYZ and broken home. But let me tell you what you have to decide. You have a decision. That's why Joshua said, choose this day. Make a choice. Are you going to serve the gods of your parents beyond the Euphrates River? The Euphrates River, actually, what he was talking about is he was saying how those were the descendants that didn't make it to the promised land because they had chosen to settle short of God's promises. So he's saying, make a choice. Are you going to settle like your ancestors did and not live the full promises of God? Choose. Are you going to live outside the blessing? He says, or are you going to serve the gods of the Amorites that you're living in now? He says, or are you going to serve the temptations of the world you're being lived in now? Choose. So which one you want to live? He says, y'all make a choice. But I love Josh's, but as for me and my house, he's like, I make a decision. I'm not going to repeat the dysfunctions that I was raised in. I'm not going to continue the hurts and the habits. I am going to make a decision, and I'm going to make a generational decision. Come on, somebody, that no longer will I repeat that, but we're going to break it, that every generational curse will have to be broken in Jesus' name. Because I'm going to make a generational choice. Someone say a generational choice for God's blessing. Let me just say this, it's never too late, okay? It's never too late. It is never too late. So what is a God-first family? Point number one, write this down. Here's what a God-first family is. Number one is this. A God-first family chooses to live by God's principles. Someone say it's a choice. A God-first family chooses. You have to make a decision that we are going to live by God's principles. That the highest thing in the seal of a home is God's principles. It's God's principles. And this is so valuable because we as, you know, of course, parents, and even if, again, if you're single and you're building your life, you're building your family now, and what you're deciding to say is, I'm going to live by God's principles. That you are going to decide that the way that you are living your life is not one of following the world's principles, but you're going to live God's principles. And as you develop that, you are literally developing the blessing of God in your life. Because God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But the Garden of Eden, listen to me now, I'm going to make a bold statement. The Garden of Eden wasn't just a place, it was an environment. It was an environment. It was an environment where God's presence was honored, God's word was honored, and God dwelt among them. You can create Eden environment in your home. Did you hear what I just said? Eden is an environment. And if you begin to say, God, your presence is honored in my home. God, your principles and word are honored in my home. God, you may dwell in our home. You can create an environment of Eden in your home today that will bring the blessing, the prosperity, and the presence of God into your home. Shout amen. Now, if you're like, well, Pastor, I want to include everybody in this message. If you're a single person, you live with your parents or something, and you can make your room that. Make your room that environment. So whatever they're doing in the next room, be like, that's all them. They might be Sodom and Gomorrah in the living room. But make your room holy. Make your phone holy. Oh, I went up to your phone now. Now I'm all up in your phone. I'll slide in your DMs right now. Your DM's holy. You can start saying, I'm going to make my environment one that honors God. Because someone say a God first family. Say it again. Say a God first family. Is that we live by God's principles. That is the highest thing. That is what is above all. It is not by what is popular. Come on, somebody. Because today it's not just back in the days people call it the different gospels, but today it's the popularity gospel. People want to be popular. I don't want to be popular. I want to be by God's principles. Hello, somebody. And so we live in a generation today that wants to be by what's popular. And who, I don't care how they're doing it. Because they, you might take your kids, and they might think, well, man, you're so old school. Be like, no, old school is the best school. Come on, somebody. Come on, is God's word. Amen? And so, because people say, "Well, you, man, you're so old. Oh, man, you're such a prude. You know, some of those, you're a prude. Yeah, yeah. You're so like, man, you got your kids on lockdown. It's like, have you seen the world?" They'll say, "Man, you're so overprotective. When was I not supposed to be protective?" I'm saying, like, what? Maybe I missed something here. It's like, no, we live by God's principles. And this is why it's important, listen to me now, that when you live by God's principles, you celebrate God's word in your home. That when we establish our homes and our families, that we communicate it through God's word. You got to know your Bible. Did you know that raising your home is discipleship? Like every time, and I don't want to paint a picture of perfection because God's working on my family. Like, you know, my family has issues too. Pray for Pastor Marie. Anyway, just joking. Come on, somebody. Pray for me. Amen. Like, we got stuff. Like, listen, all of us. Ain't nobody perfect here. But at the end of the day, we got God's word. Like, if I don't have God's word, then I got no hope. Like, we got God's word. And the truth is, we always refer back to the word of God. It's not what does dad feel, what does mom feel. It's not what do the kids feel. It's not what the world says. It's what does God say. Like, well, what is God's word? God's word says this, then this is what we're going to do. Why? Because a God-first family lives by what? By whose principles? God's principles. Because God's principles are the only principles that are going to fulfill our lives. And if we break down from God's principles, then that's what broke down the first family. If you remember, Eve ate of the fruit, and that's what broke down the first family, is because they broke down from God's principles. And I do have to say this, though, and I say this with love and all the grace in the world, but even when Eve ate the fruit, God said, "Adam, where are you?" God did not call out to Eve. He called out to Adam. So let me talk to the fellas real quick. Fellas, all the fellas in the place. I love you, men of God. But at the end of the day, God's going to hold us responsible for our homes. Did you hear what I said? He's going to hold us responsible for our homes. Now, I'm going to lay a heavy one on you, but that's the way it is. And so we got to step up, men of God. Because God, even though Adam didn't do anything wrong, he still called out to Adam. He said, "Adam, where are you?" Let that just mess with you. Adam would have been like, "I didn't do nothing." He said, "You're still responsible because you are the priest of your home." Come on, somebody. Let's go. So God's going to call us out, men, because we're not just supposed to be beast mode. We got to be priest mode. Hey, remember that? Come on. Man. We got to be the priest of our homes. Now, it doesn't give permission for the ladies to be crazy. Okay? You got to talk to God. Okay? Don't give permission for the ladies to be crazy. Okay? But the point is, fellas, we have to have the temperature of our homes. God called out to Adam and said, "Adam, where are you? Where are you?" Because there's a responsibility for the men to step up. But that's why I'm so proud of every man who's in church this morning. Come on, clap for the men in the house of God. Clap for the men in the house of God today. All the husbands, all the fathers. Amen. That's right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Because we didn't sleep at the job. We didn't sleep at the wheel. We're in the house of God, y'all. High five to all the fellas. Whew, that's right. All right. So we as men have to establish this. Now, someone say God's principles. The goal for us is to establish our family to live by God's principles. And when we live by God's principles, we make God's word the highest. Back to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 here. Watch what the Bible says. He says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you," he says, "then choose for yourselves." Choose for yourselves. Yourself. Yourself. Don't say, "Well, what are they doing? And look what they're..." God's like, you have to make a decision for yourself. Don't worry about what they're doing next door. Don't worry about what they're doing on TV. Don't worry about what they're doing. Who are you going to serve? Choose for yourself whom you're going to serve. The gods of your forefathers beyond the Euphrates, the gods of the Amorites you're living. He says, "But as for me and my house, we are going to what? Serve who? The Lord." Point number two, write this down. A God-first family. Like, how do we establish a God-first family? And this is what I'm trying to impart this morning. How do we establish a God-first family? Well, a God-first family is a shelter in the storms of life. A God-first family is a shelter in the storms of life. A God-first family is not a perfect family. There are no perfect families, okay? Now, I'm going to make a bold statement, but just please stay with me to the end of the message. God's family isn't perfect. We're all messed up. I said, we're all messed up, okay? Right? Now, God is perfect, but his kids are not. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Say, he's talking to you. Okay, come on, somebody. All right? God's perfect, but his kids are not. Hello, somebody. And turn to your other neighbor and say, especially you. Just joking. Come on, somebody. All right. Especially you. All right? So watch me now. So if we're trying to be a godly family, stop thinking you can't build a God-first family because your family's not perfect. Does that make sense? So don't disqualify yourself from this message. But what makes God's family so powerful is that his house is a shelter for the hurt. A God-first family makes their home a shelter for the storms of life. Our homes, here's the goal, is that our homes would be places of healing. Our homes would be places of healing, not hurting. That our homes would be places where when we're hurting, we can't wait to get home to receive that healing. You have no idea how many people, when they're hurting, the last place they want to go is home. That's a heartbreak. That's a heartbreak. Because a God-first family, or a mentality of having God as a foundation, is that our children would be like, I can't wait to get home because that's where I get built up. You have no idea how many husbands, or how many spouses, how many wives, they don't want to go home. But man, here's my prayer, is that our families are so God-centered. Our families are so atmosphere of heaven. That man, our children, when they mess up, they can't wait to come home to talk to dad, talk to mom. Come on now. When we're hurting, when a spouse is hurting, we can't wait to get to the house and just pray with one another. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And I know that, listen, that might seem like a distant reach, like, Pastor, yeah, that's crazy to think that. Well, let's reverse the curse. Let's reverse the nonsense we're raised in, and let's make it to where now, come on, we have generational blessing and not generational burden. That should be the goal, that God, we want that. Why? Because here's what the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says, two are better than one. And they have what? A good return for their labor. There's just something powerful when you work together to bring healing. There's just something amazing that the Bible says, that when we have this dynamic in our homes, that it brings healing, that two are better than one, that we can help each other up, not push each other down. And maybe you were raised in a home that all you guys did was just push each other down, just beat each other up, maybe physically or verbally, and it's a heartbreak. Like, let's not repeat that, and let's now create something that is healing. Because the family, God's desire for the family is that the family would be the cure for all social ills, I'm sorry. The family is supposed to heal psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, all of that. Is what's supposed to be healed inside of the family unit. That is why God instituted the family for healing. It's for that thing to take place so that we can actually begin to work together and be able to bring healing. Did you know that they say that, I believe it's somewhere in the vicinity of like 80, 90% of people that are incarcerated in jails come from fatherless homes. The breakdown of the family is what's breaking down society. We don't need to build more jails. We need to build better families. Okay? You build that, that's what changes everything. God desires for healing to come from that place. And how do we raise, you know, how do we establish, you know, a healthier families? Is we got to make it a place of healing. A place where we come home that we don't just, you know, get so loose with one another. Because some of y'all, you're nicer at work than you're at home. Oh, God. Okay, I felt that one. Let me get away from my pulpit. Okay, praise God. You're like so nice. How are you? Wonderful. Yeah, how can I help you? I'm here to serve. You know, you get home. What? You're like, dude, if you were as nice. I'm preaching real good right now. You're like, if you were as nice to your kids as you were to your customers. Maybe your kids would like you. Ooh, that one hurt. That hurt, huh? That hurt. Ouch. Because you're real nice to your customers. And they think you're the nicest person. But your kids are like, you're so rude. As we get too loose. You're letting down your testimony. Now, I'm not telling you to be rude to your customers. But if you're going to be rude to anybody, don't be rude to the people you're raising. Come on. Houses that are homes of healing. Houses that are homes of breakthrough in Jesus' name. Now, how do we raise homes to be houses of healing? For those that are parents, and even if at the moment you don't have kids, you want to remember this, is you have to train. Someone say train. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says this. It reads like this. I'm sorry. God says loving your family. But Proverbs 22, 6 says, train up a child in the way he what? He should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. The Bible says that we are supposed to train children in the direction they what? They should go. So we have the responsibility in our homes to train them in the way they should go. And this is so vitally important because we have a society right now that's trying to tell Christian families, don't tell, let them choose. You know, let them choose. Let them find out who they are. Baloney. Baloney. I said baloney. Let them choose. Make no sense. That is the dumbest thing I ever heard. Number one, it's not biblical for all you believers out there. Because they said, I'm supposed to train my son David in the way he should be going. You are a boy, 4-year-old. You are a girl, my daughter Zara. And I'm going to train you the way you should be going in your life. I would never, can you imagine if I took my son David to the mall and I said, just go find yourself. They would put me in handcuffs and for negligence as a parent. Yes or no? Yes. Why do you think that makes any sense to tell your child, go find yourself? The devil says, perfect, let me jack him up. We are supposed to train our children the way they're supposed to go. That that our boys are boys, our girls are girls. They have integrity. They worship God. They have the fear of the Lord. I wish I had some better amens up in this house. We're a God first family. Someone say God first. God first family. That's who we are. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what. Listen, I ain't smoking what they selling. I ain't drinking that juice. You know what I'm saying? If that's normal, I will gladly be abnormal. Praise God. But that's not normal over here. Society ain't working. It ain't working. So if you want to follow that plan, I'll pray for you later. The Bible says train them up in the way they should go. That it is our responsibility to teach them these fundamental truths of God's word, to teach them how God designed them and to guide them into those things. That's why coming to church is so important. Oh, you don't want to hear that one. Okay, here we go. It's important. You got to get to God's house. You know, you got to bring your kids to church. And you got to raise them in the ways of God. You know what I'm saying? Now, listen, my son plays sports and it's all good and he goes for it. But I tell him, I said, bro, if you're going to be late to church, I'm going to take you late to practice. And they go, they're going to make me run. I said, maybe I should make you run if you're late to church. That's called good parenting. Okay, well, let's go. Matter of fact, we should do that at church. If you're late, I'm going to go to the fence and back. Fence and back, everybody. Let's go. Let's go. Okay. Fence and back. Let's go. 10 push-ups. Now y'all laugh, but y'all take your kids to sports an hour early. But then when it comes to church, you're so loose. So what you're establishing is God is loose, but sports is important. Now, I'm all for sports development, but if they don't have spiritual development, I've seen it. Listen, and I say this with grace and humility. I've done chapels for NFL players who are making the money that a lot of I hope my kid, and I'm telling you right now, they have the contracts you want. They send the chapel and they're crying because they don't know how to control their lives. Because they gave their whole life to a sports development, not a spiritual development. I'm telling you right now, the pressure they go through because they got to live up to these contracts. Like, oh my God, if I have a bad game today. And I'm just telling you, like, you better develop their spiritual development, man. Or they are going to implode. Amen. Selah. Hello, Kamala. Oh, Pastor, pray. Could you pray for my child? You know, and I'm like, well, I'll pray for them, but you showed them that God was optional when they were younger. And now they're older and they're just living that out. And I say that with love, but I'm telling you, one of the most important things you could do is say, we serve God. I said, we're a family that serves God. Come on, somebody. We serve the Lord up in here. And you bring them to the house of God and you tell them, and that's okay. If they're like, good, be there all you want. You're in God's house. You think I'm joking? I'm not. Yeah. We're going to God's house. You know what I'm saying? Just a little nugget is I always tell parents, treat Sunday morning like your child's Christian education. So, like, I understand that, you know, private school can be expensive, and we're working on something, though. We're going to make affordable Christian education. It's coming. It's coming. We're working on something. We're working on something. We're working on something. And we're starting with our preschool at our new building. It's going to be a preschool affordable Christian education, and we're going to grow it. But I tell them, treat Sunday like your Christian education. So before they go to school on Monday and they're trying to tell them they came from primordial soup and all of this, you know, evolution, all that nonsense. You know, bring them to God's house on Sunday and let them learn that they were created in the image of God. Let them learn on Sunday, because they're not running a daycare back there. They're running a children's church. And they're praying for them. They're getting the Holy Ghost. So treat them as such. Amen? And so we need to make sure that we are training them in the way they should go. They should go. Okay, here's another one. Deuteronomy 6 and 7. The Bible reads like this. And put that one up for me too if you can. 6:5. I'm sorry. Go to 6:5. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. Next verse. And it says here, verse 6. It says, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And in verse 7, it says, impress them on your children. Notice it says, in what? It says to do what? Impress them. That means literally influence them. The word of God. Influence them. It says talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And so the Bible says we got to impress God's ways on their life, disciple them with the things of God. And if you're, listen to me, and I really have to speak to this. This is why I felt so hard. I needed to communicate this. And amen. Lord, help my little throat that I'm feeling right now. But is because we have a generation that feels like, well, you know, I'm not supposed to really tell them. Let them figure themselves out. But then the world is trying to impress their values on them. Okay? And so it's almost like you're playing into the devil's hands. Because you feel you don't want to influence them with God's ways. But yet the world is influencing them with demonic ways. Does that make sense? And where it's like, no, you got to take your authority back. You got to take your authority back. Come on, men. Come on, fathers. Come on, mothers. You got to take your authority back. And I'm not telling you to be obnoxious, but I'm telling you that we have to raise them in the ways of the Lord. And I say this with all, and again, I know you may have children from different age groups, so maybe you have young children or teenage children or maybe children out of the house, but really quick, if I can just encourage you, if you still have young children that are younger or maybe teenagers, do not underestimate the, because the Bible says when they lie down, talk to them when you're walking along the road, and when you, do not underestimate the moments you have to just pray with your children. If you didn't hear anything I said, for the love of everything holy, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, I'll go King James Version on you. Please pray with your children before they go to bed. You will cry to get those moments back. I beg you. If they still happen to be in your home, they're 12, 11, 14, 15, 8, 9. I beg you, before they go to say, let's pray, and sit at their bed and say, what is on your heart and what can I pray for? And impress on them that God is involved in their life. And let them talk to you and let them share with you. And some of the things they're going to tell you, you're going to want to laugh like it's not a big deal, but it's a big deal, guys. And you pray and believe God, and they're going to want to keep talking. Say, okay, go to bed now. That's it. Enough. No. Just joking. They want to keep talking to stay up. You know what I mean? Okay. You will cry to get those days back. You will cry to get those days back. Those moments you're impressing on them. What's on your heart? Talk to me. And pray with them. And they're going to share with you. And you journey with it. And then you see how God starts to develop their lives, and God starts to do miracles in our hearts, and and you have a prayer with them and you're speaking into their lives and do all that. And then we teach our children to have their own relationship with God and their own devotional time with the Lord and God's forming their identity and who they are, because they can't live off just your relationship with God, right? The Bible says impress on them. And we begin to raise them on things of God. Come on, give God a hand clap for that. Amen. All right, number three, write this down. How do we bring a God first home? God first home, write this down. God first home, number three, is a God first family chooses forgiveness. Someone say forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift. Matthew 6:15 says, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. So we got to have a family that forgives. And so unforgiveness doesn't protect you. It robs you. It limits you. A lot of homes today have unforgiveness, and it's hard to bring unity if there's no forgiveness in the home. And here's how to have a forgiving home. Write this down, kind of sub-point 3.1, okay? Sub-point 3.1 is how do you have forgiveness in your home is don't rehearse it. So number one, don't rehearse it. And so how do you be more forgiving? You got to work hard at not rehearsing the unforgiveness. So because if you keep rehearsing the situation, the more you rehearse it, the more it hurts. And so, you just keep replaying the same situation. Don't rehearse it. As soon as you find yourself going there, be like, I'm just going to let it go. I'm not even going to rehearse it. Because the more you rehearse it, you nurse it, and it keeps hurting you. Second thing you want to do is you want to reduce it. Don't maximize it, reduce it. Because some of y'all, you are very good at working yourself up. You don't know anybody who can work themselves up? That wasn't nice to point over there. Someone said, right, okay, don't point. That's okay. Right? Yeah, you're like, instead of reducing it, you like, and you know what? You're right. Instead reduce it. Be like, you know what? Just let it go. Reduce it. So don't rehearse it. Reduce it. And then number three, release it. And so you want to release it. Just let it go. Try it. A little Elsa on there. Okay? So just let it go, man. Just do Sister Elsa. Let it go. Right? And so just release it. Release it, okay? And so we're going to, watch this now. We're not going to rehearse it. We're going to reduce it. And then we're going to release it, okay? Because if you don't release it, you're like that soda can just shaken up. Okay? And I'm telling you, sooner or later, you're going to explode. And so this is a good way to have a forgiving home. And help your children with this. Help yourself with being able to overcome that. Number four, write this down. A God-first family chooses encouragement. Someone say encouragement. I like to do etymology, and the word encouragement, if you notice, the root word there is courage. And so encouragement is to put courage into someone. And whenever you encourage someone, you are building, you're putting courage into them. And the Bible tells us to encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, but encourage one another. How often? How often? I said, how often? Daily. So I said every day we should look to encourage each other. Encourage each other daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And so I just want to again say this, that a God-first family encourages each other. So everybody look at me. Don't let a day go by without encouraging those in your family. Encouraging your spouse, encouraging your children. I mean it. You think I'm joking. I'm not. Your family, especially the ones that you love and live with, your immediate family, they never get tired of hearing how much you love them. Trust me, they don't. And you have to learn this stuff, okay? Especially if you grew up in a home that didn't really encourage each other, that it was very competitive. And so if you grew up in a home where it was always like, what's up? Yeah, whatever, They thought they had the ministry of not giving you a big head, which is dumb. It's like, there's no such thing, right? There's no such thing as a ministry to keep people humble. That's what the Bible says. It says encourage each other. That means lift each other up. And so we have to encourage one another, because when you encourage, you put value on them. And women, let me say this to your husbands. Like, people can say things to them all day long. They don't give a rip. They'll be like, I don't care. But when you tell them they did a good job, they're like, your boy did it. That's right. Your words carry so much weight that you have got to learn to build that man up. And what is rewarded is repeated. It's like, you ever give a little treat to the dog and he's like, that's your husband. He's just, you did a great job. He's like, tell me again. 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 Use your words, man. Like, you know, after this message, I'll walk off the stage. I'll get in the car. And my wife will say, you did a great job. I don't care what none of y'all thought. But if she said I did good, your boy did good. Your boy did good. Right? Did a great job. Thanks. Thanks. She said, your boy did good. Your boy did good. The point I'm making is she could think it, but thinking it wouldn't build me up. Her saying it builds me up. Okay? It doesn't matter what we think. Thoughts don't count on this one. It's the thought that counts. No, not necessarily. No. You got to speak the words to each other. Tell each other. A God-first family encourages each other. Why? Because we're calling out the God potential. Tell your children did a great job. Do not let your sons be aching for your approval. And if you were raised in a home where your father never gave you approval, I apologize for that. But do not repeat that same mistake to your sons and your daughters. You be the one who approves of them. Tell them you love them. Tell them they're doing great. Tell them you're proud of them. Come on, somebody. Tell them. Release it in Jesus' name. Build them up. Amen. Vice versa, ladies, to all that. Okay, last but not least, I'm done here. I got to wrap this up. Which one do I want to give you? Yeah, I'm going to give you this one. Okay, number five, God first family chooses fun. Now, why did I choose this? Because, you know, I think sometimes we think serving God, you know, it's like, don't be happy, we're serving God. It's like, y'all need to get saved, man. Like, what are you talking about? Serving God is having fun. Let's read this one here, Ecclesiastes 3:13. The Bible says, and people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. So I just want to tell you, enjoy family. Like, it's not just meant to be endured, it's meant to be enjoyed. So, like, do things together, right? You know, it doesn't have to be an expensive vacation. You could just go to the park, right? Have a picnic. Get a game board. Monopoly. I do that with my kids, and I beat them all and teach them lessons on life. And it's great. It's fun for me. It's okay. It's great. I'm a real estate guy, so I'm winning. You know what I'm saying? They all team up against me, but I started this new thing where they have to pay me for advice. Like, what would you do? I said, that'd be $10. Almost about $8. Anyway, so the point is, get a game board. Like, the Bible says, enjoy the fruit of your labor. So listen, I'm all about saving, and y'all know my background, finance, but we can't be so like we're saving that you don't have fun. Okay, and you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to have fun. Like I said, you go to the park is free, right? You can have a game board and buy a game night, $20. Come on, you know what I mean? And you can make cupcakes together. Just make memories. Kids don't remember time, they remember moments. Make moments. And that is a God-first family. Because it's a family that enjoys the principles of God, a family that is being raised in the things of God. Come on, a family that is encouraging. Come on, somebody. A family that is forgiving and a family that's having fun in Jesus' name. Let's